From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE.
It's 82 degrees in Lawrence, 86 in Chanute, 83 in Topeka. It's 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Heartland Community Health Center, providing whole person care, including vaccines, all under one roof, serving private and Medicare clients. More information at heartlandhealth.org.
Stay tuned. We still have another 42 minutes of all things considered still to come. We'll have an update of news headlines at 6:30. Before we get to 7 o'clock, we will learn about the Department of Justice launching a probe into Chinese swimmers accused of doping. We'll also find out more about why so many migrants are taking increasingly risky routes to the U.S. Those stories and more still to come. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from the KU Natural History Museum, offering a variety of public events throughout the year for K through 12 youth, KU students, and families, including monthly series and special events. See upcoming events at biodiversity.ku.edu.
Later this evening on your KPR One stations, it's Film Music Friday. Yesterday was the 4th of July. You may remember it. Tonight we'll hear some music from some of Hollywood's most patriotic films. Music from Air Force One, Captain America, Apollo 13, Independence Day, many others. Daryl Brogdon, your host for Film Music Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. on your KPR One stations. On KPR Two, stay tuned at 7 o'clock for Snap Judgment. Lows in the lower 60s tonight, highs in the upper 80s tomorrow. It's 82 degrees in Lawrence. It is 83 in Topeka, and the time is 6:20. Join us tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend All Things Considered.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
Stay tuned. News headlines are coming up next. It's 82 degrees in Lawrence, 82 in Manhattan, 83 in Emporia. It's 6:30.
It has maximum sustained winds of 65 miles an hour. Wall Street higher by the closing bell, the Dow up 67 points, NASDAQ up 164, S&P 500 up 30. You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Kansas voters have less than 2 weeks to register for the August primary. As Sam Zeff tells us, residents have a few options for how to go about voting.
The deadline is July 16th. The next day, advanced mail-in voting starts. Voters will have to apply for mail-in ballot, which you can do on county election sites or the Secretary of State's website. In a YouTube interview with the Kansas African American Affairs Commission, Secretary of State Scott Schwab urged people to use drop boxes.
Don't mail your ballot. Treat it like cash. You wouldn't mail cash. Put it in the drop box.
The primary is August 6th. I'm Sam Zeff.
A former reporter for a weekly Kansas newspaper has agreed to accept $235,000 to settle part of her federal lawsuit over a police raid on the paper that made a small city the focus of a national debate over press freedoms. The settlement removed the former police chief in the small central Kansas community of Marion from the lawsuit, which was filed by former Marion County Record reporter Deb Groover. It does not apply to two other officials she sued over the raid. Groover's lawsuit is among five federal lawsuits filed over the raid, which occurred on August 11th, 2023. Scientists in Salina have sped up their work to create a commercially viable perennial grain. Celia Yopis-Jepson has the story.
The Land Institute breeds Kernza wheatgrass. Unlike other food and livestock feed grains, farmers don't have to replant Kernza each year. This reduces erosion and increases carbon storage in soil, but the yield per plant remains small, and the breeding process to change that is slow. Now Salina scientists are using LED lights to trick the plants into blooming twice a year. With faster breeding, scientists predict wheat-like yields by 2040, which would make it viable for more farmers to grow. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson.
Remember, you can see a more detailed rundown of all of our news from the day at our website, kansaspublicradio.org. Just click on Daily Headlines. Mostly clear skies tonight with a low in the lower 60s. Tomorrow sunny and hot with highs in the upper 80s. Slight chance of showers and storms tomorrow night, lows in the upper 60s. 60% chance of showers and storms on Sunday. It's 6:35.
Support for NPR News.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with NPR News. Any good news organization should bring you points of view that you agree with and points of view that you don't. Facts you approve and facts that make you uncomfortable. Our job is to bring you the full picture in context so you can decide. This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is your place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, many other frequencies all around the state. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Stay tuned. Still another 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. At 7 o'clock, if you're joining us on KPR One, we'll have the news, then start eight, then 2 hours of film music. It's Film Music Friday, focusing on the music from some of the most patriotic Hollywood films. Daryl Brogdon is your host. If you're joining us on KPR2, stay tuned for Snap Judgment, followed by news from the BBC World Service.
Support for KPR comes from Lovegrass Music Festival, a nonprofit music festival at Lake Wilson near Lucas, Kansas, featuring national bluegrass talent and a family-friendly atmosphere. Open to the public August 8th through 10th. More at lovegrassmusicfestival.com.
Clear skies tonight, mostly. Lows in the lower 60s tonight. Tomorrow, sunny and hot. Highs in the upper 80s. Slight chance of rain tomorrow night. Lows in the upper 60s. 60% chance of rain Sunday during the day. 80% chance of showers and storms Sunday night. It's 10 minutes before 7.
/NPR. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
Hi, I'm Joanna Kakissis in Kyiv, Ukraine. Wherever the story takes us, NPR does whatever it takes to get the story right. This is NPR.
And you are listening to NPR on KPR, Kansas Public Radio. We're live. We're local from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3. KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Stay with us. Coming up shortly, news headlines followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of film music. It's Film Music Friday. Daryl Brogdon is your host, focusing on the soundtracks and scores to some of Hollywood's most patriotic films, including Apollo 13, Independence Day, what we're hearing in the background right now, Captain America, the First Avenger. Lots of great music coming your way tonight. Stick around.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE.
Mostly clear skies tonight throughout the KPR listening area. Lows in lower 60s. Tomorrow sunny and hot, highs in the upper 80s. Mostly clear tomorrow evening. Few clouds coming in after sunset. Slight chance of showers and storms tomorrow night with a low in the upper 60s. We have a 60% chance of showers and storms Sunday and an 80% chance Sunday night. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Biden says he is staying in the race for president and intends to beat former President Donald Trump for a second time in November. As NPR's Tamara Keith explains, Biden was campaigning in Wisconsin and trying to calm Democrats who've been voicing concerns since last week's debate.
The crowd in a middle school gymnasium in Madison was pumped, and Biden was defiant while acknowledging the alarm caused by his debate performance last week.
Can't say it was my best performance. We love it, but ever since then, there's been a lot of speculation. What's Joe going to do? Is he going to stay in the race? Is he going to drop out? What's he going to do? Well, here's my answer. I am running and going to win again.
Biden said he wouldn't let anyone push him out, even as some Democratic lawmakers and donors are gaming out scenarios in hopes he steps aside. Biden's campaign announced it will spend $50 million to run ads in the month of July alone. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
At this hour, ABC News is airing a one-on-one interview between the president and reporter George Stephanopoulos. The French go to the polls Sunday for the second and final round of voting for a new parliament. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports recent polls suggest the far right will not get an absolute majority, but is poised to grow its place in the French government.
27-year-old Anna Lelou is handing out leaflets for the left-wing coalition, the New Popular Front, which presents itself as the main barrier to the far right taking power. We are deeply anti-fascist and we're fighting the national rally, she says, but we are also deeply anti-capitalist. We think that's the wrong way, too. Lelou says they are for a third way, which fights racism, colonialism, and inequality. Despite fears the far right could take control, she is hopeful the French will rise up to block them. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
The EPA says climate change is hurting the health and well-being of people across the U.S., and the agency warns heat waves are particularly dangerous. More from NPR's Rebecca Hersher.
Climate change is causing temperatures to steadily rise, and deadly heat is increasingly common across the country, according to the new report by the EPA. Heat waves in American cities are getting both longer and hotter. That's contributing to hundreds of heat-related deaths in the workplace, with construction and farm workers among those who are most at risk. And extreme heat is also affecting the oceans. Marine heat waves are disrupting fisheries on U.S. coasts as shellfish and other economically important species struggle to survive in abnormally warm water. Rebecca Hersher, NPR News.
Stocks resumed their record run-ups on Wall Street today. The Dow was up 67 points. The Nasdaq rose 164 points. You're listening to NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Procter & Gamble, maker of ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies, designed with melatonin for occasional sleeplessness to help people fall asleep naturally. Learn more at ZzzQuil.com. From the University of Kansas, it's the place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate July 5th. The Sun and the planet Jupiter are the heaviest objects in the solar system, but there's a huge gap in their masses. The Sun is more than 1,000 times heavier. There's a class of objects between those masses. Known as brown dwarfs, they're much heavier than Jupiter, but no more than 7 or 8% of the Sun's mass. A brown dwarf probably forms in the same way as a star, from the collapse of a cloud of gas and dust. The heat of that collapse makes the brown dwarf shine. But a brown dwarf isn't massive enough to fuse hydrogen in its core to make helium, the power source of most true stars. It may briefly fuse a heavy form of hydrogen, but that doesn't produce nearly as much energy. So brown dwarfs are also known as failed stars. The surface of a brown dwarf can be so cool that clouds can form in its upper layers, making it look like a giant planet, such as Jupiter. And despite the name, brown dwarfs aren't really brown. Their color can range from dull orange or red to dark purple to black. a result of the surface temperature and chemistry. The closest brown dwarfs form a binary known as Lumen 16. The system is 6.5 light-years away, closer than only two star systems. Even so, it took a special space telescope to discover the pair, faint missing links between true stars and giant planets. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns, located in Calaveras County, in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
That's music by Jerry Goldsmith for Air Force One to begin tonight's Film Music Friday here on KPR. This, of course, is the movie where two-fisted President Harrison Ford takes on a crew of terrorists who've managed to hijack Air Force One. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Welcome to Film Music Friday, where every week we celebrate the music of the movies. And with July 4th upon us, once again, I thought it'd be fun to hear music from some of Hollywood's most patriotic films. These are films that make you want to wave a flag, set off fireworks, and maybe root for the underdog. Coming up, we'll hear music from Apollo 13, Seabiscuit, and Independence Day, among others. Next, though, it's the first Avenger, Captain America. And with a name like that, you know he bleeds red, white, and blue. Captain America was born in the pages of Marvel Comics during the Second World War. The first cinema Captain America was a Columbia serial made in 1944, where the character was significantly altered. There was a low-budget feature film in 1990, a couple of TV movies, and numerous animated shows featuring Cap as well. In 2011, Captain America returned to the big screen, in the first of several films in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Captain America the First Avenger retells his origin and his meeting with archenemy the Red Skull. Alan Silvestri's music is both familiar and iconic, with the expected military flourishes and patriotic themes. Here's music for Captain America the First Avenger on KPR's Film Music Friday.
From Captain America, the First Avenger, the character's debut in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that's music by Alan Silvestri on Kansas Public Radio. Tonight, we're hearing music from patriotic movies, and these don't always have to be about military subjects. For instance, later, we'll hear some patriotic themes from a political comedy, a sports movie, and a sci-fi adventure. I'm Daryl Brogdon, and thank you so much for joining us here tonight on Film Music Friday, which is made possible in part by the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. Well, next, it's music by Randy Newman from Seabiscuit. With America's spirits, much like its 1930s finances, in a deep depression, an undersized racehorse and his team of equally damaged humans became an unlikely champion and a unifying symbol of hope and second chances right when the country needed it most. Even if you don't care anything about horse racing, Randy Newman's music alone is enough to get you into this movie. It's a thoughtful and wide-ranging score, maybe one of his all-time best. Here's music for Seabiscuit on KPR and Film Music Friday.
Thank you.
Randy Newman's inspiring music for Seabiscuit, 2003, and here on KPR's Film Music Friday. NPR News is just ahead at 8:01. Film Music Friday is on the air till 9 p.m. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Thanks for joining us. This week for July 4th, we're hearing music for patriotic movies, and still to come, Apollo 13, Independence Day, and Glory. Tomorrow on the Moth Radio Hour, stories of time, its possibilities and its limitations, a secret room, a final basketball game, and a countdown to marriage with no suitor in sight. It's storytelling without a net on the Moth Radio Hour, and that's tomorrow at 5 p.m. right here on Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News. Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, and online at kansaspublicradio.org. James Newton Howard, with music for Dave, 1993, in which the President of the United States suffers a debilitating stroke and is replaced by a lookalike who proceeds to shake things up a little bit. James Newton Howard has been Oscar-nominated 9 times and has created scores for films like The Fugitive, The Dark Knight, and News of the World. We have NPR News at 8:01 tonight, and right after the news, John Williams' epic theme for Superman. Ron Howard's Apollo 13 in 1995 tells the story of the ill-fated moon flight that nearly ended in disaster when an oxygen tank explodes and damages the hull, making a moon landing and maybe even a safe return to Earth impossible. It's a story of classic American heroism, aided by a fabulous score from composer James Horner. You know, in discussing his music for this film, Horner once said, "What I was trying to get out of the story was idealism, everything that was great in the guys at Mission Control and in the capsule, the best thing about NASA." And that's a very elusive thing to bring out, but that's what I wanted, idealism in a very different way. James Horner's known for writing magnificent, emotionally rich music, integrating choral elements with electronic music, and his score for Apollo 13 does not disappoint, even featuring a wordless vocal by Annie Lennox in the closing credits. This is Apollo 13, music by James Horner on KPR's Film Music Friday. That's the music of James Horner for Apollo 13, 1995, and here on KPR's Film Music Friday. Tonight, for the 4th of July, we're hearing music from patriotic movies. And ahead in the next hour, we'll hear tunes for a Civil War drama, a hockey film, and a sci-fi thriller. That's all between 8 and 9 tonight on KPR. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Film Music Friday is on the air every week at this time and available for you to listen on demand. Just go to kansaspublicradio.org and click on Music to find it and stream it right to your PC. If you have the free KPR app or in the on-demand offerings, you can play it right on your smartphone. And finally, with the KPR skill enabled on your Amazon smart speaker, anytime you say play KPR, you can stream shows on demand, including this one. Details about all the ways to hear Film Music Friday are to be found at our website, kansaspublicradio.org.
On this week's Wait, Wait, director Rian Johnson talks about his creative process when making the Star Wars movie The Last Jedi.
You know, because you're like, what would this look like if we tied a, you know, firecracker to this Jawa?
I'm Peter Sagal. It's a summer tentpole version of our news quiz with directors, costume designers, actors, and, of course, incredible visual effects. Join us for the news quiz. That's always an event. That's Wait, Wait from NPR.
Tomorrow morning at 10 on KPR. Kansas Public Radio's KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Support for news on KPR comes from Pines Garden and Market, featuring a wide selection of perennials, trees, shrubs, growing supplies, and gardening advice since 1962. Open 7 days a week in North Lawrence. More information at pinesgardenmarket.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Joe Biden, in a wide-ranging interview with ABC News moderator George Stephanopoulos tonight, was at turns forceful and conciliatory in terms of the future of his campaign. The president repeating he has no intention of leaving the race. Impressed on whether he'd be willing to take an independent neurological and cognitive exam, Biden initially pushed back.
I have a cognitive test every single day. Every day I have that test. Everything I do. You know, not only am I campaigning, but I'm running the world.
Eventually, the president did say he has not taken such a test and said he's not been asked. As for last week's poor debate performance, Biden blamed it on exhaustion. When asked how he would feel in November if he loses to Republican Donald Trump, Biden said, quote, "As long as I gave it my all, that's what this is about." The Israeli military says its airstrikes hit more than 100 targets in Gaza over the past 2 days, including several UN schools used as shelters for displaced people. Israel says the schools were, quote, active operational infrastructure for Hamas. More from NPR's Kat Lonsdorf.
The Israeli military says it struck 2 UN schools in Gaza City in the north on Thursday. In a statement, the military said steps were taken to, quote, mitigate harm to uninvolved civilians. The UN says it is still working to verify reports and casualties are not immediately known. On Wednesday, the Israeli military struck houses next to another UN school full of displaced people in central Gaza in the city of Khan Yunis. Ahmed Akram Zagzouk was staying in the schoolyard with his children. He says there was no warning. The blast knocked him over and destroyed their tent. We don't know where to go, he says. We thought the UN schools would protect us, but they can't. Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Beryl is now a tropical storm as it passes over Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. NPR's Michael Copley reports the storm is expected to regain strength as it moves over the Gulf of Mexico.
The storm's weakened significantly since exploding into a major hurricane earlier in the week in the southeastern Caribbean. It's the strongest ever Atlantic hurricane this early in the season, fueled by record warm ocean temperatures, largely due to climate change. After crossing the Yucatan Peninsula, the storm is expected to head toward northeastern Mexico and southern Texas by the end of the weekend. Those areas are expected to see up to 8 inches of rain, with flash floods and flooding in urban areas possible. Michael Copley, NPR News.
Another relatively healthy month of jobs growth for the U.S. economy, though the June report from the Labor Department paints a picture of an employment market that is perhaps growing just enough to reassure the Federal Reserve may be able to begin cutting interest rates later this year. The government says the economy added 206,000 payroll jobs last month, while the unemployment rate ticked up just slightly to a still low 4.1%. Stocks gained ground on Wall Street today. The Dow was up 67 points. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people. From the University of Kansas, your place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday is Kansas Public Radio. Here's one of the great movie themes, the main title from Superman, 1978, composed by John Williams and here on KPR's Film Music Friday. I kind of think the music in any superhero movie will always be compared to Superman. It's the quintessential superhero music. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Welcome to Film Music Friday, where tonight we're hearing patriotic themes from movies. With July 4th upon us, it seems only appropriate. Still to come, Mark Isham's music for the movie Miracle, about the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. Plus, the world unites against a common enemy. Not coronavirus, but invaders from outer space in Independence Day. That's all ahead in this hour. When it comes to movies about the Civil War, one of the best is Edward Zwick's Glory, produced in 1989. It's based on the true story of the Civil War's first all-black volunteer company, the 54th Massachusetts Infantry Regiment, which has to fight prejudice from its own Union Army as well as the Confederates. Now, according to James Horner, there was a lot of back and forth with director Edward Zwick, who in the beginning wanted a more traditional score, based around Battle Hymn of the Republic. Well, if ever there was a film score built to make you weep, it's this one. It's music that, again, shows how expertly James Horner as a composer is able to communicate the emotional and dramatic core of a film. This is music from Glory on KPR and Film Music Friday.
Thank you. James Horner's deeply emotional and Grammy-winning score for Glory, 1989, on KPR's Film Music Friday. It said that Horner felt his music needed a voice, and what better voice for a film about the first regiment of black soldiers in the U.S. than the Harlem Boys Choir. Many people consider this James Horner's greatest achievement, maybe the best soundtrack ever for a Civil War movie. We're hearing patriotic themes from movies on tonight's Film Music Friday. Darryl Brogdon here, later Outer Space Invaders Attack in Roland Emmerich's Independence Day. On tomorrow's Moth Radio Hour, we've got stories of time, its possibilities and its limitations, a secret room, a final basketball game, and a countdown to marriage with no suitor in sight. It's storytelling without a net. The Moth Radio Hour. Here at tomorrow at 5 p.m. right here on KPR. From the University of Kansas, it's Kansas Public Radio, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News. 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia, online at kansaspublicradio.org. From the movie Miracle, all about the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. That's the music of Mark Isham on KPR. We just heard The Team, a kind of Copeland-esque anthem that really helps to set the stage for this film, which tells the unlikely story of the Americans winning the gold over the all-powerful Soviet team at the 1980 Winter Games. Mark Isham's been writing for film since 1983 and has created scores for movies like Quiz Show, October Sky, and A Dog's Journey. We are hearing the music from patriotic movies on tonight's Film Music Friday. These aren't always the films you'd expect. Sometimes they're about great military moments, sure, but occasionally they're about underdogs, superheroes, and as we're about to find, Invaders from Space. Also, later in the hour, patriotic music from Patton by Jerry Goldsmith. Independence Day in 1996 is about a motley group of people who come together in the Nevada desert following a worldwide attack from a powerful race of extraterrestrials. It's from there, along with people all over the world, they launch a counterattack on July 4th, Independence Day. David Arnold is an English composer who's worked on several Bond films, TV Sherlock, and on blockbusters like Godzilla and Independence Day. There's a lot of patriotic bombast here, especially for the scene where the president rallies the troops before the all-or-nothing attack begins. Here's music for Independence Day on KPR's Film Music Friday. Take that, bad guys. That's the music for Independence Day by David Arnold, directed by Roland Emmerich. And here on KPR's Film Music Friday, just the thing for wiping out alien bad guys. I'm Daryl Brogdon. This is Film Music Friday, and thank you kindly for joining us here every week at this time. We're here to celebrate the music of the movies. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com. And the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. Well, in a show devoted to patriotic movie music, you can't leave out Jerry Goldsmith's famous theme from Patton, so we won't. This is one of those movie themes that people recognize even if they haven't seen the movie. Goldsmith used a gadget called an echoplex, basically a tape delay system, to loop recorded sounds of those call-to-war triplets played on the trumpet that musically represents General Patton's belief in reincarnation. Here's some of the music that occurred near the end of the film, music by Jerry Goldsmith, on KPR's Film Music Friday.
Rabbi Tamar Manasseh organized a group of mothers on Chicago's South Side 9 years ago to try to take on gun violence.
It starts with just basic human respect. When you treat people as human beings, they tend to act more human.
Now she feels she might be losing the battle and could shut down the group's community center. That conversation on Weekend Edition Saturday from NPR News.
Tomorrow morning, 7 to 10 on KPR. From the University of Kansas, KPR's KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or simply tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Joe Biden's efforts to salvage his presidential campaign reached a new level today with a one-on-one interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, Biden blaming last week's poor debate performance on what he called a bad episode. Meanwhile, NPR's Tamara Keith used a sports metaphor to describe the president's performance tonight.
The question this interview begins to answer is, how does he do when he's thrown a curveball? And I'd say the answer is he hit some singles and some doubles, and there were also some strikes where he failed to connect at all. After the halting debate performance, even Biden allies have been openly questioning whether he has the cognitive function to keep doing the job of president for another 4 years. They want him to show that he can perform well without a teleprompter.
Repeatedly pressed by Stephanopoulos on whether he'd be willing to undergo and release results of a cognitive exam, Biden said every day on the job is a cognitive exam. The president later added, though, no one had asked him to. Hurricane Beryl continues its destructive path across the Atlantic after making landfall on Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula this morning. It's now headed toward the Gulf of Mexico. Emily Green reports.
Beryl has now been downgraded to a tropical storm, but meteorologists warn that it is far from over and is likely to gain power again as it passes through the Gulf of Mexico. Unusually warm water temperatures have fueled Beryl's strength. The National Hurricane Center predicts Beryl will hit Texas between Sunday night and Monday morning. A severe weather disaster declaration has been issued for 40 Texas counties. On Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula, Beryl slammed tourist hotspots with 100-mile-per-hour winds that caused widespread blackouts and felled trees. But no casualties have been reported in Mexico. For NPR News, I'm Emily Green.
The U.S. economy continued to add jobs at a healthy pace in June. NPR Scott Horsley reports most of the gains came in healthcare, government, and construction.
U.S. employers added 206,000 jobs in June, a modest slowdown from the previous month. The unemployment rate inched up to 4.1% as nearly 300,000 new people joined the workforce. Healthcare continued its strong job growth, while construction companies also added workers, despite high interest rates, which are weighing on the housing market. Factories and retailers shed a small number of jobs, and temporary help services cut nearly 50,000 jobs. The labor market is still strong, but it has been gradually cooling. One sign of that is average wages, which rose 3.9% over the last 12 months. It's the first time in 3 years that annual wage growth has dropped below 4%. Scott Horsley, NPR News. Washington.
Stocks resumed their record run-ups on Wall Street today on the continued strong jobs numbers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 67 points to close at 39,375. The Nasdaq was up 164 points. The S&P 500 gained 30 points today. You're listening to NPR. The Justice Department is officially looking into a doping scandal involving nearly two dozen Chinese swimmers. Some of the athletes are scheduled to compete later this month at the Paris Olympics. NPR's Brian Mann has more.
The Justice Department rarely comments on ongoing investigations, but two international sports organizations have confirmed to NPR that a criminal probe is underway. One focus appears to be on the World Anti-Doping Agency, known as WADA, and its handling of repeat positive drug tests by some elite Chinese swimmers. In a statement, a group called World Aquatics, that governs international swimming competition, said their executive director has been subpoenaed to testify in the case. WADA also issued a statement saying it handled the Chinese drug test properly, accusing U.S. officials of exceeding their authority by claiming criminal jurisdiction over the case. Brian Mann, NPR News.
The UK is making its first major government change in 14 years after the Labour Party won an overwhelming victory in parliamentary elections there. Yesterday's rout of Britain's Conservatives was the biggest ever for the party, over Britain's first Labour government since Tony Blair faces some major hurdles. That includes fixing the country's sluggish economy resulting from the UK's exit from the European Union, dubbed Brexit, COVID-19, and the war in Ukraine. The election also showed the country's two main parties are not as dominant as they once were, with many cabinet members losing their seats. Crude oil futures prices closed down slightly today. Oil fell 72 cents a barrel to end the session at $83.16 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Doris Duke Foundation, which aims to support the well-being of people and the planet for a more creative, equitable, and sustainable future. And listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
Compelling is the way I describe this next song from an album called Artifact, but split like three words, art, if, act. Kate Wyatt is the pianist and the composer of the music, and the song is entitled Underwater Chant. Can you imagine? art music from March 8, 1959. That's art music from 2022, Kate Wyatt, and a song called Underwater Chant. I felt like I was underwater. Artifact is the album. Lex French trumpet, Adrian Vedadeh and Jim Doxis. Here's Art Blakey, that is.